Welcome to The Word at First Pres. Our fall sermon series is called Come to Jesus Moments. Throughout this series, we will be having hard conversations about important issues that impact all of our lives. Thanks for listening.
Let's turn to our first scripture reading this morning from Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. There is a vanity that takes place on earth, that there are righteous people who are treated according to the conduct of the wicked, and there are wicked people who are treated according to the conduct of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity, so I commend enjoyment, for there is nothing better for people under the sun than to eat and drink and enjoy themselves, for this will go with them in their toil through the days of life that God gives them under the sun. When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, how one's eyes see sleep neither day nor night, then I saw all the work of God, and no one can find out what is happening under the sun. However, much they may toil in seeking, they will not find it out. Even though those who are wise claim to know, they cannot find it out. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading comes from Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37. Jesus called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, you all know we've been doing a sermon series. Many of you have been here for it. It's called Come to Jesus Moments. And a come to Jesus moment or come to Jesus talk is when we're having what? You probably memorized my intros by now, right? You know what I'm saying, like, every week. It's when we have to have a hard conversation about an important topic. And we've been having these hard conversations throughout the fall where we've been talking about things that impact us personally, things that impact Christianity and the church, and things that impact culture and society. And the reason we're having these hard conversations is because if we don't talk about them, we can never change anything about ourselves. And that's really, really important. We need to be able to change things about ourselves in small, incremental ways. So if you remember, we turned up the heat for a couple of weeks in a row, and then last week I kind of turned the heat down a little bit. Like, I talked about employment, which applied to like 70% of the congregation isn't employed anymore, so it doesn't really apply to everybody. But, you know, it applies to some of you. So today, though, we're going to come back to something that is universal, and it hits every single person in this room. And I want to start by showing you a short film. It's an animated film by a guy named Steve Kutz. Steve Kutz, this is the first film he came out with. He kind of got well-known because of this film, and his animation is really remarkable because you'll see very quickly, he has tons of detail in it. It takes him, I don't even know how long, and he didn't do this for anybody but for himself. And his short films always are commentaries on society, on kind of how we live. It won't take you long to figure out what he's getting at, but the short film that we're going to watch is called Happiness, and it's going to lay the foundation for what we're talking about today. So let's watch.
Thank you.
You got the point of that, right? He has a bunch of other short films that he does, and I think they're all really, really inventive and really, really good. But today what we're going to be talking about is how we as humans, we try to push off suffering and how that impacts us personally and as a society. And as you could see from his short film, what he was trying to really get at is how we as a society, we kind of struggle to deal with negative emotions. This is hard for us, right? And so we deal with this in a lot of different ways. And of course, there's some ways that he points out in his short film. So some of it is drinking alcohol. Some of it's with drugs. I mean, there's so many today. He gets into the idea of materialism. Of course, there's the internet, Netflix. You can watch television. And within the internet, there's, of course, so much that you can look at online. And within that, you have things like pornography, you have gambling, and then there's just scrolling your phone, right? And I think within all of that, we have this propensity inside of us that when we have downtime, we seek pleasure. That's kind of how we are. When we have downtime, we tend to seek out pleasure. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is why do we have this propensity? Why are all of us susceptible to this? And why do we do it in the first place? I think that's kind of what we're aiming for. So are we all on the same page? All right. So I think that for some of us in here, you may already sit there and say, well, Alex, it's actually quite simple. I can tell you why we seek pleasure, right? It's built into our biology. We are designed to avoid pain and seek pleasure. That's just kind of who we are. We evolved over literally tens of thousands of years to do that, because if you look back to where we came from as a species, as we evolved, it was very, very hard for us for most of our existence, right? Most of human existence, until like today, literally, we're living in like one of the best times ever, your life was short, you toiled with the earth to maybe get your food, and that was kind of the way life was. And this is where the advice from Ecclesiastes comes from. I want to take a look at this, because the author has something to say, right? So I commend enjoyment. For there is nothing better for people under the sun than to eat and drink and enjoy themselves. For this will go with them in their toil through these days of life that God gives them under the sun. So what's he saying right here? He's saying life is hard. It's difficult. And get a little enjoyment out of it while you can, right? So when you have some downtime, when you're free from your responsibilities, you know, go out and drink some wine and feel good about yourself. And I would say that for most people, this is kind of how they live their lives, right? So they work hard, throughout the week so that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday they can drink and feel good. And I'm not trying to judge you if that's what you do. Like, I'm really not here to judge you about that. Like, if that's what you do, that's what a lot of people do, right? And even if you don't drink, well, on the weekends, what a lot of people end up doing is they end up, you know, spending time watching endless amounts of Netflix. Like, some people watch entire series of shows over the weekend. Sometimes people scroll their phones. How often has this happened to you where it's like, oh, I got to get on my phone and do something, and then something pops up, and you click on it, and you're like there, and you're just kind of scrolling. And then when you finally have the self-discipline to stop, you look up, and then like an hour's gone by, and it's the worst feeling ever, because you're like, I was just looking at the dumbest stuff on my phone, and you feel like I wasted an hour of my life that I'm never going to get back. So, has that ever happened to you? I assume it's happened to you at some point or another, right? So, the fact is that all of us have this capacity, and it's kind of inherent to who we are, to want to escape reality. We kind of want to get out of where we are, and because it's the same, it's no different than when they wrote that in Ecclesiastes 2,000, 3,000 years ago, right? We want to escape where we are for a minute. And so I think one of the best kind of summaries of why this happens and commentaries on it actually comes from one of my favorite theologian philosophers. His name is Soren Kierkegaard. And Soren Kierkegaard, he wrote this very famous book called Either Or. And in this book, he has this amazing quote. And this quote says, "This is what is sad when one contemplates human life, that so many live out their lives in quiet lostness. They live, as it were, away from themselves and vanish like shadows." Now this quote, I've been obsessed with this quote for a long time. I wrote a whole feature-length film around this quote that I spent 2 years shooting back in 2007 and 2008. I've been thinking about this quote for a long, long time. And I can tell you that for me, this quote encapsulates a lot of the problem that we're dealing with. And there's a lot of wisdom in this quote. Whether you realize it or not, there's a ton of wisdom in it. And I want to take some time to parse it out for you, if that's okay. Because I know that upon a first reading, you may not be getting exactly what he's talking about. But if we parse it out, I think you will come to understand why we have this propensity to numb ourselves out and why we kind of go towards this reality, this escapism from reality. So I want to start with the first part of it. So he says, "This is what is sad when one contemplates human life, that so many live out their lives in quiet lostness." Now, what does that mean? What does that mean, quiet lostness? What does it mean to be lost? I think we all know what it means to be lost, right? You don't know where you're going. How many people in here have been lost at some point in life? Like, and I mean like geographically lost, right? Like you didn't know where you were. Maybe you were driving somewhere and you got lost. Harder to do today with GPS, but you know, you've been driving somewhere, you got lost. Maybe you were out hiking somewhere and you lost your bearings. Do you remember that feeling of what it's like when you're out in the middle of nowhere and you don't know where you are? Like, think about that. Get into that place. What did it feel like? I can tell you what it felt like for me. I felt disoriented, scared, and horribly alone. That's how I felt. Disoriented, scared, horribly alone. Is that how you probably felt? All right. Soren Kierkegaard says this is how we spend most of our lives, is disoriented, scared, and horribly alone. Now, you might disagree. You might sit there and say, well, Alex, I mean, that's not, I mean, sure, at points, maybe I feel like that, but not all the time. I mean, that's not how I feel about everything. Well, Kierkegaard would disagree. He would say that if you dig down deep inside, every single one of us, if you really examine yourself, deep inside of who we are is this feeling of lostness. And what he argues is that we spend a lot of our lives trying to distract ourselves from that feeling. We work really hard to kind of appear that we're not lost, right? And how do we do that? We do that because by showing that we're in control, right? So if I'm in control of things, like if I know what I'm doing when I want to do it, and I know where I'm headed to, well, clearly I can't be lost. Well, Kierkegaard would argue that this illusion, this control that we have or that we exert over ourselves, is nothing more than an illusion that basically masks this feeling that we have deep down inside of us. And you know how I can prove that to you? So, what are we talking about? We said on the weekends, what do a lot of people do? A lot of people on the weekends, they drink, right? Or they spend lots of time on their phone, or they're watching Netflix. This is what we do. This is how we spend our time. Now, what's so fascinating about that is that on the weekends, you are free from your responsibility. Generally, I know you have things that you do, but generally speaking, you're free from responsibility. And there are times where you can sit down and you have nothing that you have to do at that particular moment. How many of you, when you have absolutely nothing to do, are okay sitting there doing nothing? And I mean absolutely nothing. I don't mean that there's a TV on in the background. I don't mean that there's a radio there that you listen to. I don't mean you're listening to music or you're reading something. I mean nothing. Most people I know cannot do that. Most people, when they sit there and there's nothing happening, immediately, all of a sudden, I got to do something. I have to go. I'll turn on the TV. I'll watch something, right? I'll get on my phone. They can't just be. And that's because in that moment where you're sitting there, that feeling of lostness, it comes to the surface. And it's very uncomfortable. And you want to distract yourself from it. And this is what he means when in the next part when he says, they live, as it were, away from themselves. So what he means by that is these behaviors that we engage in, they enable us to feel detached. We get detached from that feeling inside of us because it's very uncomfortable for us to have that feeling. We don't want it to be there. And so what we end up doing is we end up pushing it away. And over so much time, when you're talking about years and decades of doing this, right, where you're constantly pushing it away, what ends up happening is that you wake up one day, many, many years later, and you spent so much time kind of forcing this feeling away that you've never really experienced the full spectrum of life. You've never experienced the fullness of beauty in life, and you've never experienced the fullness of sorrow because you've been constantly feeding and consuming all of this time these things to distract yourself. And if you spend enough time doing it, eventually what will happen is you will vanish like a shadow. Now, what does he mean when he says that, right? To vanish like a shadow. What is a shadow? A shadow is you're here today, gone tomorrow. A shadow has no discernible impact on the world. Because the shadow is here, and then it just disappears into oblivion, as if it was never there in the first place. And so, in order to not be a shadow, what Soren Kierkegaard argues is that you have to confront the lostness that's inside of you. That's the way that you overcome that. And that's what I want to spend the rest of my time speaking about this morning, is I want to talk to you about how you overcome the lostness. You with me? Okay, I took my time on this part because I wanted you to really understand where we're going. You may disagree with me, or you may disagree with Kierkegaard. I think he's right, personally, about these things. So, to start, this is what you need to know as we're going into the solution to this problem. This is one of the hardest things that you're going to ever do in your life, period. The hardest thing you would ever do is what I'm talking about right now. Because the cure for this is really paradoxical. And it's actually found in Mark chapter 8. So what we read this morning, we read from Mark, right? Mark is 16 chapters long. And chapter 8, at least that portion that we read, is literally in the direct center of the gospel. That is not by accident. That is because Mark wants to tell you this is the most important teaching. This is the central teaching of Jesus. And so you can talk about all of Jesus' other teachings. To Mark, this is the most important. Let's read it again. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Now, I can tell you that I've read this verse in this church dozens of times. And the fact is that most people I know don't understand what it means. Like, and this is not like a burn on anybody. It's just that it's really incomprehensible, right? Like, what he's talking about there is really hard to understand. Like, what does he mean that you have to deny yourself? What does he mean that you have to lose your life to save it, right? I get how some people would read that and be like, not sure really what he's talking about there. So let's do what we did with Kierkegaard. I want to kind of parse this out a little bit, because if you understand what he's talking about here, if you get this, then you're going to understand how to confront the lostness. Do you understand what I'm saying? These two things are connected to each other. All right, to understand what he's talking about here, the first thing we have to do is we have to agree on something. That basic to our human nature is selfishness. That human beings, generally speaking, are selfish entities. Now, not everybody in here may agree with that, but here's why I say that. What are the three things every person needs to survive? You need food, shelter, clothing. Yes? Everybody needs that. And very similar to how your brain, your mind, right, you're going to avoid pain and seek pleasure, your brain, your genes are designed to seek those things out. Why? Because you need them to survive, right? It's understandable. Well, these three things are at the core of our selfishness. Without them, you can't have them. Now, you may not consider yourself to be a very selfish person, but if I take away those three things, I guarantee you, you will become selfish very, very quickly. Very quickly, you will see how selfish you actually are, because without these, you can't make it, right? And what most people don't realize is that these three things are really behind our drive for success in the world. I don't care how you're trying to be successful, whatever your pursuit is, right? Those three things are behind it. Because the more successful you are in life, the more resources you have, the more those thoughts can recede into the back of your mind, right? You don't need to worry about, if you have lots of resources, do you have to worry about food, shelter, clothing? No. Those things recede away, don't they? And in fact, it's these three things that make us want to hold on to our money so tightly. So, you probably know this. There's more than enough money in the world to solve the issue of poverty. Like right now, we could solve it today if we wanted to. Why are we not capable of solving it though? Because there is such a disparity in the people who have wealth, right? We have a small amount of people with a lot of wealth and a lot of people with not a lot. Why does that happen? Well, it happens because we, all of us, have this primal voice in the back of our mind. And this primal voice is speaking to us saying, hey, you need to hold on to that. Because one day, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what you might need at some point. You might need that money. You don't know if it's all going to go away. You don't know what's going to happen. So you've got to hold on to that and don't let go of it. Because who knows what could occur at some point in time. And so that voice, it's speaking to you constantly, and that's why it's really hard for us to let go of our money. That make sense? Okay, so when Jesus says that you have to deny yourself, he's basically saying that version of yourself that is driven by those three things, that's what you have to deny. You need to stop that person from doing what he's doing. Which is really hard. Like, if you're sitting there, can you imagine a version of yourself where you're not concerned with those three primal worries? It's really hard to imagine that, right? But here's the thing. Those three worries, they're integrally connected to that feeling of lostness. And I have a great example of this. Great example of this. So, you would think that people who have millions and millions of dollars, have you ever met somebody who is, like, super wealthy rich? Have you ever met somebody like that? Okay. Yeah, I mean, well, Bob is super wealthy rich. Yeah, so it's fine, right? No. So if you've met people who are super wealthy rich, what's interesting is you would think that a person who has millions and millions of dollars would have no worries, right? Because they don't have to worry about those three primal issues any longer. Like, those things are so, when you have that much money, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And yet, what's interesting is they actually worry more than people who have way less. When you talk to them and you get into conversations with them, you realize they have real deep worries. And you sit there and you think to yourself, how could that possibly be? You have nothing to worry about in your life. And yet their worries are actually much higher than people who are struggling. And the reason why is because when you have money, that breeds an intensity for more. Because the idea is that lostness inside of you, it's based on a feeling of insecurity. And what you realize is that insecurity, when you feed into it, because what does the primal worry say? You need to hold on to yourself. And when you have so much, right, you would think, oh, I'm good. No, it intensifies the need because it's a bottomless pit. You can never have enough. It's why people who have billions and billions of dollars, many of them don't even give that money away because you can never have enough. You never know what's going to happen. So when Jesus says that you have to die to yourself, what he means is that you have to kill off this version of yourself that is concerned with those things. When you do that, a new person is going to rise in that place. So this is the idea. You kill off that version of yourself, a new person is going to rise. So if the former version of yourself, right, is concerned with making sure that you have all those things, if you're selfish, this new version of yourself is selfless, right? If this old version of yourself is concerned with gaining for yourself, making sure you have enough, this new version of yourself is concerned with gaining for others. What I refer to, this new person, so when you kill off the old person and the new person rises, I refer to this as the resurrected life. Now, what is a resurrection? What is it? What happens? Tell me what a resurrection is. What happens? Something dies, and then something new comes back. Jesus is the perfect example of this, right? He's the example we look to. But Jesus isn't the only one who can experience a resurrection. If you follow Jesus' teachings in Mark chapter 8, you too can experience a resurrection. And I can tell you right now, the people who are living the resurrected life, the people who I've met who are truly living that out, they are not trying to suppress those feelings of lostness. They have overcome them, and they feel whole and self-sufficient. I've not met many people like this in my life. I have met a few. But for those who have been able to do it, it's an amazing thing to see. Now, you might be sitting there saying, Alex, that sounds great. How do we do it? Like, it sounds wonderful. Let's do the resurrected life thing. Let's go. We'll do it together. How do we make it happen? So this is how you do it. The practical way, the first thing you have to do is you have to stop numbing yourself out. You have to stop pushing away that feeling of lostness. Because here's the thing, you can never, ever find yourself if that's where you're going to be. If you're going to constantly be distracting yourself, it doesn't matter what it is, if it's alcohol, if it's television, if it's Netflix, it can be work. It can be all kinds of different things that you're using to suppress that feeling of lostness. And what happens is when you sit with yourself, so what you have to do is you just have to be able to stop and sit there and just be. No distractions, nothing around you. You got to let that feeling come to the surface and bubble up. And you got to be in the tension. It's hard. It's really hard. But eventually, you'll get over the hump. And what you're going to find is that the more you're able just to be, then that spectrum that you felt in life, because you've worked so hard to distract yourself, right? The spectrum of what you can feel starts to expand slowly. And as it expands, you start to feel the true beauty and sorrow of life. And what you come to realize as it expands is that you are this whole person. And once you kind of understand that you're part of a whole, well, you're not worried about you anymore. You're much worried about other people, right? Because the whole thing is that once you can experience it all here and now, you realize that you're connected to each other, right? I'm connected to you in this deep way, and I'm willing to sacrifice for you because it's not about me, right? I want to make sure that you're doing okay because by you doing okay, I know that I'm going to be okay. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So here's the thing. What Jesus is asking of us right here, this is the hardest thing you will ever do in your life. And I'm not standing up here saying, I got it, like I'm not, okay? What I'm saying is it's a journey. But it's worth the effort if you can do it. I mean, I want you to think about the difference between somebody who lives a normal, average life, right? And the resurrected life is the difference between being a shadow and leaving your mark on the world. Think about the people who are remembered throughout. Why is Jesus remembered? Why is Mother Teresa remembered? Because they were selfless. They gave everything they had to others. Now think of most people throughout human history who have lived according to those three primal urges and needs. They have been forgotten with the sands of time. So the more you live into this way of being where you're thinking about being there for others and literally realizing your connection to others, the more you're going to leave a mark on the world. So this is the question I want you to ask yourself. It's a hard question. Do you want your life to matter or do you want to fade away? And if you're going to answer that question, if you want your life to matter, I assume everybody in here wants their life to matter, right? Then you have to stop numbing yourself out. You got to stop engaging in those behaviors that are pushing away that feeling of lostness. And the come to Jesus moment for today that you have to realize, you got to look in the mirror and you got to ask yourself, am I numbing myself into becoming a shadow, or am I confronting the lostness inside of me so I can make a difference in the world? And if the answer is I'm numbing myself into becoming a shadow, then you need to go back to Mark chapter 8. And you need to remember what he says. What does he say? For those who want to become my disciples, they will take up their cross. For those who want to gain their life, will lose it for my sake and for the sake of the gospel. And I hope that you will take that advice very, very seriously. Because I know all of you in here, you want to make a difference in the world. And you can. You just have to stop pushing away the lostness. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more about First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, please visit www.firstpresah.org for more information on service times, directions, and to learn more about the First Pres family of faith.